the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see all of you on this glorious Sunday, very warm morning. I ask Father Hayek if I could come and speak to you about the diaconate and what the deacons do in Rhode Island, and to take a few minutes to focus on exactly what this ministry is and to help people understand if perhaps they have a call to that ministry. But first, I would like to point out to you that at the very top of your bulletin this morning, you will find the title of this great and glorious day that we are celebrating today. It's the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. How exciting is that? Okay, so here we have what is sometimes referenced in the church as the nameless season. Okay, we start with Advent, we go to Christmas, we move into Lent. Well, we have Epiphany, we move into Lent, and then we have Easter and Pentecost, and then the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And so the church over the years has adopted a name for this season, and oftentimes it's referenced as the ordinary time. The ordinary time. What an odd kind of a name for a church season. And even though it's not an official name, that's how it's referenced. So ordinary can mean common or mundane, but yet that's not what this term ordinary is referencing. It's really from the word ordinal, or the word which means counting. And so we're counting the Sundays between Pentecost and when we arrive at Advent, where we start all over again. But I think that oftentimes we get caught up thinking ordinary. So this is just like, ho-hum, here we are, we're going through summer, and then we start school, and then we start the church year, and eventually we get to Advent, you know, where the energy picks up again. But I would like to suggest that maybe the church reconsider and really give this season a name. I think we should call it the extraordinary season, the extraordinary, because here it is where we take time to actually listen to gospel passages and scriptures about Jesus' teaching, his parables, the works that he has done, and it's a great time for reflection. It's a time to understand that after Pentecost, whether it's the first Sunday or the 14th or the 28th Sunday after Pentecost, that each and every Sunday, what we are called to do, what we gather here to do, is to be nourished and refreshed and educated on what it is exactly that we are supposed to do as Christians. And I'd like to give you a brief reminder. Back on May 19th, which was Pentecost, we had the Gospel of John and a reading about the outpouring of the Spirit. How these disciples who were hiding in a room, who were terrified of what might be happening to them, all of a sudden received this gift of the Holy Spirit that totally transformed them and started a spiritual revolution. We are part of a revolution right here in Providence, Rhode Island, because you see, over those 2,000 years plus, this same Holy Spirit has been given over and over and over again through baptism, through laying on of hands, through people praying and asking God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. The amazing thing is to me that this Holy Spirit that was given on Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that we have right here, right now, in each of us. Is that exciting? Doesn't that make life extraordinary? Aren't we called to extraordinary living? We, the body of Christ, have this gift that enables us to do what Jesus said in his words, things that were greater than what he did. That's what it says in the Gospel of John, that you and I can do things greater than what Jesus did. Who wants to sign up for that? Can you imagine? I mean, the gospel this morning, there was a woman who was bent over and crippled for 18 years. And Jesus came and laid his hands on her, and she was healed. And she stood up, praising God. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed the blind, the lame. He cast out demons. But you and me, we are supposed to do things greater than that. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, baffling, exciting, extraordinary, right? And this is what we're called to as Christians. But how can that be? Well, you know, I don't think that necessarily we are going to see the exact same miracles that Jesus did, because Jesus was doing miracles as he was preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was trying to help people understand that the kingdom is now, that we live in the kingdom, and that that kingdom is about that God loves you and me just as we are right now today. He loved us when we were born. He loved us when we made the biggest mistakes in our life. He loved us when we turned our backs on him, if you ever did that. I certainly did at one point in my life. He loves us through anything and everything, unconditionally perfect, and that is the gospel. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us and raise us to new life with him today, right now. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. Unbelievable. And so when we carry this message of God's kingdom, of his love, we can help those who are blind to truth see. We can help those who are dead in their life, in their life energy, come alive. Come alive. We can raise those people from the dead. We can help the blind to see. We can walk with God in a way that we've never walked before. And so you see, we are called just as the disciples are called. Now, some of us are called to something different. All of us are called to that. No question about it. Extraordinary, ordinary living. And so some of us are called to be ordained, to do different kinds of work in the church. And so we have deacons and we have priests and we have bishops. And with the deacons, the diaconate, the order of deacon, okay, the deacons are called to be those who serve God in the world. We are the bridge between the church and the world. We are the ones who have their hands, the bishop's hands, laid on us and ordained to go out into the world proclaiming the good news. Not unlike you, except we are called in a special way to be organized and intentional and focused on specific areas. Perhaps it's the prophetic deacon who is called to the justice issues of this world, to feeding the hungry and to helping the homeless find places to live and shelter, to work with the elderly. We have pastoral deacons who are called to work in nursing homes or prisons and do care for the sick and the lonely. We have administrative deacons who are called to help raise up the body of Christ and organize and gather people together to go out and to do ministry. And so the ministry of deacons is quite varied. Now, I want to help you understand that there are really two kinds of deacons that you will encounter. And it's not like cute and not cute like I am, but it's rather transitional and vocational. And so the transitional deacon is the deacon who goes on to be a priest. And so Jonathan, when he was first ordained, he was ordained a transitional deacon and then was ordained 6 months or a year later as a priest. Vocational deacon, like I am, we are the deacons who are permanently deacons. Now, some people, I've been ordained for 22 years, and they don't understand this concept. So they ask me, well, when are you ever going to be a priest, Jan? I said, what do you think I am, slow, you know? I am called for a life ministry as a deacon, okay? And so that's the ministry of the deacon. But in terms of then, we also serve liturgically. And so we move from parish to parish. We are non-stipendary for our work as deacon. Some deacons who serve as chaplains at a hospital, for example, would be paid, or prison chaplains, they receive money. But it's not because they're a deacon, it's because of the work of that particular institution that they are doing. So we have secular jobs. And so I, for example, own my own company. I do IT consulting, and that's how I am able to pay mortgages and eat, because the church does not pay me. I do not stay in any one church. I serve under the bishop, and I serve at his pleasure. And so we move from church to church. In Rhode Island, we have 12 deacons right now. That's all. We only have 12 deacons who are active. We have 19 deacons who are retired. And so there aren't very many of us at all. We move every 3 to 5 years. Our job is to come into a parish and help a parish raise up new ministries, perhaps, or strengthen ministries that are already there. But we are the gatherers. We are the leaders in helping people with ministry and outreach and proclaiming the gospel through actions and words and deeds. And so right now, I serve actually at St. Augustine's at URI, and I heard that there's somebody going to URI. Right there. I already know about you. St. A's on the corner, okay? I'll see you after for directions. But what we discovered down there is that there's hunger on college campuses. There are students who are on college campuses who have no food, who are living in their cars, who have to use all their money for tuition and books, and they have no food to eat. Money to buy food to eat. And so we discovered this ministry. It's like, oh my goodness, who would ever think about this? It was actually on NBC Nightly News. But we're starting a food pantry so that we can help feed students, and we're starting a Feed a Friend program where we cook meals for students. And so that is one particular ministry that I'm involved in right now. But the deacon, then, is the gatherer. We are to help create sustainable ministries so that when we move on, this ministry continues to operate. And so now our new bishop has a vision to revitalize, to grow, to reinvigorate the diaconate in Rhode Island. So I'm here so that you can see what one looks like, know that we are real, and know that we are looking for those of you who are called to be deacons. And here's how you might know. There are those of us who, when we were kids, would look at people in a pulpit and say, wow, I'd like to do that someday. I actually did think that, but I was a girl, so that was an issue. But I was in a different branch of the Protestant church, but I had to go off and do some research in other areas of my life, like alcoholism and a few side things that, you know, dissuaded me for a while from being part of the church. But there was always this thing inside of me that said, you know, I'm attracted to the altar, I'm attracted to liturgy, I'm attracted to serving God and his people. I have this, what I call justice chip inside of me that just goes, you know, like crazy when I see injustice in the world, and I want to do something about it. It's not right. Somebody's got to do something. Help, you know? And I find out, well, it's me. And so the deacon has this kind of yearning to serve God in a way different than the wonderful ways that we do his work as lay people. And so if you sense that with inside of you, as I did, and you look at Jonathan and say, but you know what? I don't want to go off to seminary. I don't want to have to run a parish. Because, you know, God bless priests, you know, the work that they do, but that's not what I'm called to. I am not called to that kind of a ministry of being present as a full-time job in the church, because I am called outside. I am called to the streets, the highways and the byways and the wherever. And so I think part of the problem right now is people don't understand the diaconate. People don't understand that you can have a full-time job and work too. Hey, who wants to sign up and not get paid? Beautiful, you know? I'm sure I will be at the back of the church and you can talk to me when you want to sign on the dotted line. But the other thing is that the community, that you as the community of Grace Church, are called to look at each other. Because oftentimes we don't see that we have certain gifts. And so you might see that you think somebody is called to be a deacon. And so please see either Jonathan or set up an appointment to have a conversation about that. but we are looking for those who are called to this amazing, extraordinary ministry. You see, we are all called to do extraordinary things. Sometimes we're just called to do it differently. And if you are called to be a priest, that's a beautiful thing too. And maybe one day even bishop. But for those of us who have this, like, I want to do more for God, I need to do more for God, and just this insatiable desire for the justice issues or the pastoral care, then take time to stop and pray about it. Ask others to talk to you about it. Do you see this? Do you think maybe this could be me? And set up an appointment with Jonathan. God is doing amazing, exciting things in his church today. The whole universal church is being raised up. And we are being raised up again in Rhode Island, I believe, for incredible work. I keep hearing about programs going on, like your Children's Friend program, as an example. What a beautiful thing you are doing. And at University of Rhode Island, St. Thomas Alton, they are doing an after-school tutoring program. And in St. Thomas Greenville, they, with City Camp, did this glorious dinner for inner-city kids. And there are exciting things happening. And so, folks, please pray. Please pray about your call to do extraordinary things, to do things greater than what Christ did, and believe it. You see, Jesus said that anybody who asks or seeks or knocks, that was the gospel the other week, right? For the Holy Spirit, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will never be denied, ever. This is what the Father wants. And so we ask, and that's where we get the power and the grace to go out these doors and do those things that are greater than what Jesus did. And so please pray for yourselves, for me, and for all those who might be called to the order of the diaconate or the priesthood or whatever, so that together we can transform the world. Amen.